It's Thursday, and I'm going to tell you where I think the Jaguars could be most vulnerable. I'll do it in just a second on this edition of Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Jaguar fans? I'm Tony Wiggins, the host of Locked On Jaguars, and we thank you for joining us and making us your first listen here on your Monday through Friday daily podcast. It's your team every day, and we are free on all platforms. Make sure you like and subscribe everywhere, including YouTube. So every team has a little bit of vulnerability. It doesn't necessarily mean that those vulnerabilities will be Achilles' heels and cause you to lose games. One of the formulas that I thought that I would come up with to try to explain a few of the vulnerabilities of this team in the first two segments. In the last segment, what I'll do is tell you how the Jaguars can avoid being vulnerable in those areas and some of the things that they have to overcome. Look, for a new team, some things just can't be escaped. And the first thing is the newness of everything and how quickly all of these parts have to come together and make a well-oiled machine. That, folks, is the first vulnerability that this team will have. There's an easy way to twist that and make that strength too. So I'll talk about that, like I said, in segment three. But right now, the first thing is bringing so many people together who don't really know each other, having to evaluate while, and I'm talking about evaluate everyone, all 90 players. And I know you guys probably think every single coach does that, but you don't think Andy Reid already knows who and what he has in his team for the most part because he's been there for a long time. So it's those things that I'm talking about. You know, we don't have an incumbent coach. He has to figure out what these guys can do. And there's only so much you can probably learn that Doug Peterson can probably learn from watching film of last year, because we know that that was an absolute car wreck waiting to happen. That did happen. And then if those guys weren't being properly coached, and if they're running things that you probably wouldn't ask them to run, and just the whole dysfunction of the whole thing, you know, it probably just doesn't look good on tape. I'm sure there's some things that you can juxtapose or get or grab out of what happened last year in terms of a guy's skill set and his ability. But that's just a lot. That's a lot to have to get through when it's a new situation that some other teams, particularly two of the teams in your division, aren't having to go through that for all 90 guys. Like, there's a comfort level in knowing what you have in certain players. So they have a task when it comes to familiarity and getting to know each other and trusting everybody so that everybody can do their job. So how can that make them vulnerable? Well, early on in the year, you might see teams make a point to not be as vanilla as they normally are, and really do some advanced level things to Jacksonville to try to see if they've worked on that yet. Have they figured this out yet? And what happens is if the beginning of the season gets off to a slow start, even if you end up being better by the end of the year, sometimes it's a little too late and you don't end up making the playoffs and you don't put yourself in the proper position that you want to. So the first thing that they're probably going to be vulnerable for is just getting to know each other and being familiar, and the coaches understanding and knowing where the players are and what they can do. Now, I don't want to mislead you and think that every team doesn't go through this, but like I said, one of the reasons it's important here is because there's so many brand new pieces. It's not like they fired the head coach. Like, for instance, when Doug Marrone took over as the interim coach and then they gave him the job, Doug had been here. He had been here as the offensive line coach. So he at least had some idea of what the guys were capable of. When you start completely over, you have to understand that it's going to take some time, especially if you look on the schedule and there are some really, really good teams with veteran quarterbacks that understand that these guys haven't been together for a long time. And the coaches who are smart enough to challenge them in ways early in the season, all teams get challenged early in the season, but to challenge this team early in the season with things that they probably shouldn't be knowing already about themselves because they they all just came together. So that's one vulnerability. Another vulnerability is this. Very good pass rushers. I am still slightly concerned that the offensive line has so much to prove. And this is one of the reasons why I was chief. I was chief of the whole brigade that wanted to start off fresh and start off new. And you would still have to have something to prove. And you would still have to, if they had a rookie or whatever. But this is going to be a part of this team that is expected to be a strength. It has to be. It cannot be. It cannot be an area that is just okay, or it's a wash, or they're fine. No, once you pay Cam Robinson $17, $18 million a year, and you go out and you get Brandon Scherff, and you know, say Trent Baalke said out loud that Juwan Taylor is a good football player. In fact, he sort of laughed at people that thought otherwise. And then you figure out whatever it is you're going to do at left guard, and then you draft at a center. No, this has to be one of those upper echelon units. This has to be a unit that's top 12, top 15. I'd say no. I'd go even further than that. I'd say top 8 to top 12. And they're going to have to do it early, because one thing teams around the league have done, and the Jaguars have done this, they have shored up their ability to chase the quarterback and get after these passers. So that does matter. Those are two of the vulnerabilities. I'm going to mention some more of them on today's episode of Locked On Jaguars. Potential things that could be a problem. And like I said, one of the things that I did was I pretended that I was some other team, and I was answering my own question, like, how would you attack them? Where would you go after? What would you do? I'll tell you something else from a scheme perspective, as well as a couple of other positions, and I'll do it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. We love the mamas. We love the mamas. We love the wives and the people who nourish us and our family and give birth to our beautiful children. One way to show that love is on Mother's Day, is to your mom, to your wife, if you guys have kids, if you guys are grandparents, to your daughters, is with fine jewelry. Fine jewelry that you find at Blue Nile. That's right, BlueNile.com. If you're looking for the jewelry and you have trouble choosing, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Don't let Mom's Day, I call it Mom's Day or Mother's Day, go by without you blessing the wife, the girlfriend, mother, mother-in-law, or grandmother, the beautiful queen in your family, with fine jewelry. Whether it's diamond jewelry, cocktail rings, tennis bracelets, gold layering, all of that stuff you can typically get and give as a gift on Mother's Day so she can really have memories that last forever. All right, so what you need to do is go to BlueNile.com, enter Locked On Sports. That's right, enter Locked On, because what Locked On Sports listeners are going to get is $50 off your first $500. So just to make sure you understand, the word is Locked On. If you enter Locked On, you're going to save $50 on $500 at BlueNile.com for Mother's Day. We thank you for making us your first listen here on Locked On Jaguars, and we are greatly appreciative of you and all that you do by tuning in every single day on your Jaguars Daily Podcast. I've been doing this now for, what, professionally 12 years. Started radio. My first radio show was back in 2001, but it was college-centric. But I moved back to Jacksonville right after they were awarded the franchise. So I've been around, been studying this, been following this. And this is one of the most optimistic times outside of the first Tom Coughlin run when the team first started. This is one of the most optimistic times I can remember. And even the pessimists are a little bit encouraged with Doug Peterson and his presence. That's because Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. Now, I know everyone says Tom Coughlin won one too, but when Tom Coughlin came back, he came back as the executive vice president. He didn't come back as a head coach. We're going to have a guy on the sideline now that knows what it takes to win, knows what it takes to have a system, knows what it takes to have the continuity that's required to win. And he absolutely knows a little bit about quarterbacks, and that's a big deal too. What we're talking about is places of vulnerability for this team this year. And I did a little exercise with myself, and I acted like the ops, as the young kids say. And what I did was say, how would I attack Jacksonville? Well, unit-wise, I would definitely stay my butt in some nickel defense until they prove to me they can run the football with two guys who didn't play a whole lot of football last year. Travis Etienne didn't play at all. And then we don't know if James Robinson is going to be available early in the year. So one of the things that I would do is I would make Trevor make tough throws, and I would challenge the Jaguars to show me that they can run the football consistently. And that goes back to the offensive line as well and on those running backs. So you notice there's a theme here. The theme is I'm going to try to make the offensive line feel like they have to play hero ball and beat me, because I'm not going to line up and give Trevor easy throws. I'm not going to just assume that they're able to blow us off the ball. One thing I learned about basketball a long time ago is when you come out, come out in zone. Even if you're a man-to-man team, come out in zone. You know why? Because that other team might just be having an off day. You don't know that when they walked into the gym that day, if they were going to be able to throw a rock in the ocean. So you're out playing all of this man-to-man defense, tight man-to-man, and they're putting these picks on you, and these guys are getting these layups, and they're getting transition baskets, when it's quite possible that those jokers probably couldn't hit the side of a barn with a barn, and you did all of that stuff for nothing. Come out for about 2 or 3 minutes and see if they can hit shots. If they can't hit shots, just keep making them, and then they start thinking about them. So that's what I would do with the Jaguars. I would take away the one thing that could kill me, and I would give them an opportunity to show me that they had the patience and they had the wherewithal to run the football and run it early. Another vulnerability that I want to point out, secondary. If you're like me, you think Darius Williams is probably going to start outside, right? When they go to a nickel, who do they put in the slot? Does Williams slide inside and Shaq Griffin goes back outside? Is Shaq going to play nickel? Are they going to use a bigger guy in a nickel like Tyson Campbell so he can be close to the line of scrimmage and blitz? We've seen teams do that before. That's one of the things that I would find out. And whoever that nickel guy is, I would attack him. I would line somebody up in the slot and I would attack him, because even though Williams has the size of a nickel, I think he plays better outside than he does on the inside. And Shaq Griffin is long and angular at about 6'2". And I don't know if he moves side to side quick enough. I would attack whoever that is. I would keep him in nickel. In fact, I would go one back with an extra tight end or a third wide receiver and keep those jokers in nickel formation. Another possible vulnerability, and this doesn't mean it's a weakness, it is you got to show me. You got to show me that you can guard the deep middle of the field. I would attack those safeties and seams, because what you're going to get 9 times out of 10 is Trevon Jenkins coming back from injury, right? And Andre Sisco, who for the life of me, I can't understand why, but didn't get on the field a bunch as a rookie. So everything's going to be new to them too. I would attack those areas. What is the strength of the team as far as numbers wise, which is the secondary, still, you still have to have the communication and the cohesion that early on these guys might not have. So those are some things that I would attack on defense. I would start out attacking the secondary. Of course, you'll also want to know if they got any sand in their pocket. The Jags added a lot of people up front. And if I were the teams, I wouldn't just assume that they're going to be good enough to bully us just because they're big and physical. I see if they're assignment-wise, if they're sound. It's a new defense with Mike Caldwell. I would see and I would test them with formations to see exactly where they are early in the year. So if you think they're more physical than you, then you just got to be a better technician and you have to be smarter. So if I'm another team, those are some of the things that I'm thinking of. So as you can see, we're reaching deep down, man, to try to figure out a way to find vulnerabilities with Jacksonville and how we would beat them if we were the other team. That bodes well. The fact that there are You ever heard me one time say, I want to see how good that quarterback is and make him throw to the outer hash mark? Hell no, I don't want to see how good that quarterback is if I'm another team, because I think the kid's pretty damn good. And I think if you put the game on the line in their best player's hand and you say, okay, see if you can beat me, that's exactly what Trevor Lawrence is going to do, especially with Doug Peterson installing and calling plays. That's a good thing. That's a problem we haven't had around here, that some team going to go, how about Gardner Minshew and Blake Bortles? You know, the team said, let's see if he can beat us. With Gardner, it was like, make him stay in the pocket and don't let him get off schedule. Don't rush past him. Don't give him these little alleys. Don't let him get to the scramble routes. Or play everything tight underneath to see if he can make the throw down the field. Those are total opposite things that you would want to do with Trevor Lawrence. I am not making that. I'm not letting him stay in the pocket. I do want to harass him off his square. I do not want him throwing the ball downfield. I want that ball to come out of his hand as quickly as possible. Those are the way that you fix your problems. You fix it with talent. So with Jacksonville, I think what teams should do is try to force Jacksonville to keep the ball out of Trevor Lawrence's hand. How can we avoid these vulnerabilities affecting the Jaguars? I'm going to tell you one that you can fix, and I'm going to tell you one that you can't fix. The one that you can't fix is the one about familiarity. You just got to approach the new part of the season, and this new year, you have to know who you are and what you know and what you don't know when you come out. And I'll tell you why that's important here after I tell you about betonline.net. It is Kentucky Derby weekend, man. Every time you know it's Cinco de Mayo, by the way, happy Cinco de Mayo, you know the first weekend in May is also Kentucky Derby time, and they are running the Race for the Roses, the Run for the Roses in Lexington, and you can get paid. But you got to learn and know the nuances of that game. And the way that you do that is to go to betonline.net, because it's your number one source for all your betting stats, sports, and information. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports and more. It is huge that you learn the jockeys, the tendencies of the horses, the way those horses adjust to the surface, and difference between coming from a synthetic surface in Santa Anita and then coming to Lexington and running on the dirt, and how foreign horses usually don't do really well in traffic. Also, check the weather to see if it's going to be a muddy track or a fast track. You can find all of that stuff out at BetOnline, because it's where the game starts. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action at BetOnline.net. We thank you again for joining us on Locked On Jaguars here on a Thursday. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you, and making us your first listen, of course. Before you get filled up with tacos and tequila, because I know my listeners, at least the people that interact with me, I know they can't wait to put that hat on and start doing their little dances. I know it's going to be some tequila flying and some tacos and some salsa being eaten and some whatever that music is called. It's going to be party time all around Jacksonville. You walk around Jacksonville, man, you're going to think you in Cancun or somewhere today. Y'all going to be calling each other Cabron and all of this other stuff like they do on Queen of the South. I get it. But listen, have fun and be safe. That's my message to you. My other message is make Locked On NFL your second listen. The Locked On NFL podcast can be found wherever you get your podcast, as well as on YouTube. Yours truly, along with James Rapine, host that every Wednesday. We're talking about the vulnerability. So how can the Jaguars avoid certain vulnerabilities? Well, they're not going to be able to avoid. It's not the elephant in the room. Is it your new team? When you're a new team with a bunch of, and when I say new, I don't mean franchise, but I mean a bunch of new parts, young, bunch of rookies from last year. They might as well be rookies again this year because of the disaster that I will constantly remind you that Urban Meyer put this team in. And the fact that this is a new coaching staff. And it's not a whole new coaching staff. It's not like all of them walked in and they were somewhere holding hands. No, these guys came from, they're an all-star team too. Doug had to get all of these dudes who were already coaching somewhere else. It's not like they were all sitting around last year, hanging out at Doug Peterson's house, grilling, saying what they're going to do when they get a team. No, these guys had other jobs. So Doug Peterson and the rest of those coaches have to come together, figure out a plan, be able to communicate that plan, teach that plan, maybe even unteach some bad habits, unteach some bad thoughts, unteach not being able to trust your coach, unteach guys walking down the hallway not speaking to you, unteach guys who might kick you in practice, unteach guys who don't even know your name or the name of the opponents. Y'all get my drift. So there's a lot of things when you could have a football version of post-traumatic syndrome when things haven't gone the way you wanted them to go. And then you got a whole crew of free agents, new free agents that came in, and a bunch of young draft picks that you're really, really going to depend on. A new way of doing things. Don't be surprised if, while being respectful and being in a good non-toxic environment, that they do push these guys and prod these guys a little bit more than you might think is comfortable. That they do coach them hard, because that's what goes on in the National Football League. At some point, the honeymoon's going to be over and guys are going to be fighting and competing for jobs, and there's going to be manufactured stress that's put on them. Hopefully what happens is they get it really, really quick. And Doug Peterson is able to figure out what his team is and what his team isn't. And they can build around what those guys do well and what they know well. And that will alleviate a little bit of the growing pains that when you come out, you dictate with physicality and not allow people to formation you into things that you're not ready for, not allow people to be comfortable enough in down and distance situations where they can just start trying stuff just to see where you're at. Bro, if you're proactive and you come out and you can run the football and you can get first downs and you can avoid dumb penalties that have plagued bad teams, especially the ones here, for as long as I can remember, you can alleviate some of those concerns. The other thing is the three C's on the offensive line, the continuity, the cohesion, the chemistry. It's another one too out there. I can't think of that one, but whatever that is. Camaraderie maybe is the one we're talking about. If they can develop a sense of that and they can get, I made a quote yesterday that the two linebackers in Tampa, they're always in step and they kind of look like the Temptations. These dudes need to look like the Temptations. The offensive line needs to be able to come out early and establish the kind of chemistry, cohesion, and all of those things that good football teams are able to do. You can't control staying healthy, but I do think they need to stay healthy because we don't need to press too far into the depth early in the year to see who is what and who's going to be able to step in. You always want your best foot forward, especially when you're first starting out. So that's the way you can avoid that. The way you can avoid that is try to develop that chemistry as early as possible. In the past, I've seen them move guys around to see what they had and trying to figure it out. Let me use a training camp as some sort of tryout. Look, there's always going to be competition. And if somebody wins a job, they win a job. But like last year, man, it was having competition days and using training camp as some sort of quarterback competition when you pick the dude number one and say you took the job because he was once in a lifetime, once in a generational quarterback, and you literally going to have a quarterback competition in practice and waste time and reps that could have gone to helping that kid get ready. I know y'all don't even want to talk about it no more, man, but every now and then I got to just bring stuff up like that to let you know how blessed you are to have a new situation with a competent, real NFL coach who seems like he knows what he's doing and he has a plan. So the quicker they know who they are and what they are, they're going to be able to come out and go ahead and start implementing stuff in practice and know who you're riding with. They already know who they're committed to. That's not to say that those bottom 34 guys don't need to, 36 guys, however many, don't need to be fighting for jobs and trying to create a lane for themselves, because they do. The bottom line is the quicker the Jaguars identify who their good players are and they can start getting some chemistry, and those guys will start knowing how they want the ball, where they want the ball, what it's going to look like. But you got to stay healthy. You got to stay healthy, particularly at their running back position. Got to stay healthy at running back. Your backs have to be able to pass pro and pass protect, because what I think people are going to do, they're going to really, really, really try to rattle Trevor by rallying the people around Trevor and putting a lot of pressure on him to maybe come out of his shell a little bit and come out of that comfort zone and try to do too much. So with the defensive backs, the other weakness, the other vulnerability that I said, the areas they could be vulnerable. Guys just have to create competition and know where the other guys are going to be, especially the safeties. I do think they can cover. I think they have a real good mix of length with Tyson Campbell and Shaq, and then with quickness with Darius Williams and toughness, because he plays with a lot of toughness. And he's also, remember, he's a Super Bowl champion. And in football, that matters. When you've learned how to win, and you know the pedigree and you understand what it takes. He might be along with Doug Peterson. He's probably one of the only people in that building. Of course, and Mike Caldwell, that really have. And from a player perspective, he probably is the only guy in the building that I can think of that knows how to win on this level and knows what it looks like. So I'm not as concerned about the secondary as much as I'm concerned a little bit about the ability to give up big plays early, because guys are learning a new defense and they're also either coming back from injury at the safety spot, or they just haven't played much. But other than that, not too many concerns, not too many vulnerabilities, which makes me think the Jaguars have a real good shot of being a super competitive football team this year. All right, so tomorrow is Friday. It's post Cinco de Mayo. I don't know if y'all going to come looking like this tomorrow because of all that tequila and all of that stuff and all of the, what is the other stuff they drink with the little worm in the bottle? Mezcal and all of those things. But you guys, please be safe, be festive, enjoy, but be safe. Come back tomorrow. Don't drink and drive. It's not worth it. Have a good time. Let's just do what we always do. Take care of each other. And join us again tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Jaguars. I'm going to talk about Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to give it to you about Trevor, about the expectations, about the things that I think he'll be able to do this year with all of the insulated additions to the coaching staff, as well as someone who has a plan to make sure he's as successful as he can be. Until then, you guys take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow.